The Woman Who Couldn't Weep for Her Dead Mother by Marku Lindroos. The basement bar of the oldest pub in the heart of the city is always alive. The music is good, the food is good, the women are sharp, the men are cheerfully drunk, the bartenders are fast, the atmosphere is one of a kind, and the place stays open until the small hours of the morning. Sitting at the bar was a well-known artist, sporting a turquoise knit sweater, shock red hair, and cornflower blue eyes. Her mother had just died, and she wanted a buzz heavy enough to make her cry. In the background, a jazz band dragged through St. James Infirmary, the black vocalist singing with a raspy, soulful ache.
Let her go. Let her go. God bless her. Wherever she may be, she can look this wide world over.
The woman told the bartender she'd asked the band for something sad because she didn't know how to weep for her dead mother, and they'd been playing Billie Holiday-type tunes all night because of it. She drank a light, bitter Jamaican beer straight from the bottle. The pub's owner, originally from the Caribbean, brought in a shipment once a year, and it had become a tasting ritual for the initiated, much like the arrival of the year's first Beaujolais Nouveau. The owner was a lean, impeccably dressed black man with very dark skin who danced jazz with a long-limbed, loose-jointed grace, reminiscent of the dancers in old Hollywood pictures. A loyal pack of horny women always gathered in the exact same corner by the stage, waiting for their turn to experience a dance floor orgasm under his spin. Slurring her words, she said,
"I don't have the stomach for that catfight."
The woman was famous for always saying exactly what she thought. Her art, too, was unapologetically honest, and her exhibitions never failed to ignite polarizing, emotional debates in the media. A middle-aged man, riding a wave of newfound tipsiness and looking for company, sat down next to her. Introducing himself as a psychiatrist, he leaned in.
"Standing behind you just now, I caught you saying you don't know how to weep for your dead mother. Don't worry, crying is just tears, an involuntary reaction that even peeling an onion can trigger. Grief is something else entirely."
The band's vocalist crooned,
"This pair of eyes can see a star, so paradise can't be so far, since heaven's what we're dreaming of. For heaven's sake, let's fall in love."
The woman stared unblinkingly into the man's eyes, and a single tear traced its way down her cheek. Then she turned her back on him and asked the bartender for a mojito, heavy on the rum, no sugar, and just a few cubes of ice. The man didn't give up, speaking directly into her shoulder blades.
"You know, the worst part of my profession is that it often makes people suspect hidden motives. They think I'm pulling one over on them. But the truth is, with my clever questions, I skin the soul right out of their brains, coaxing it out through their nostrils like something out of a Gogol short story. Even when we're just talking about ordinary things, kids, family, travel, or a broken down car. The strangest thing is, most people actually want me to expose the most wretched motivations of their lives."
The woman didn't turn around. She took her mojito, but snapped suddenly.
"I'm not going to bed with you, you lying sack of shit plumber. I'm friends with your ex-wife, and she told me you have a small dick."
The man vanished. The bartender laughed and remarked,
"They always lie about something, saying they're pilots or whatever, thinking it'll get them into a woman's pants."
The artist didn't laugh. Instead, she broke down, weeping uncontrollably, sobbing,
"She was such a good mother to me."
She swallowed the last gulp of her mojito, rose on unsteady legs, and stumbled out. At the other end of the counter, the bartender spoke to a couple who were celebrating their newly ignited drunken romance, tongues buried in each other's mouths.
"Looks like tears are still a long way off over here. Keep a lid on your horniness until you hit a hotel. The reputation of this place won't survive you two screwing right in public. Go out and dance. You can grope all you want out there." Now that the lady looking for grief finally broke down, the band can play something a bit more hormonal.
The couple ordered another round and were allowed to stay. The night was already turning into morning as our woman stumbled toward the taxi stand, where a line of people arguing over rides stretched around the block. She decided instead to walk around the small bay, taking the gravel bike path toward the artist's house, where she kept an apartment. The neon signs of the buildings lining the opposite shore cast pillars of color onto the water's surface. The artist viewed them through the spectrum of her own mood, like a motif for a canvas. On a park bench, a man sat slumped forward, nodding off. She recognized her recent harasser. She sat down beside him and said quietly,
"In the life of a fatalist, coincidences always carry meaning. You can't just bypass them."
The man came to, glancing at her.
"I don't have a woman, not an ex, not anyone, and I don't believe in coincidence. So fuck off and move along with your foolish life. The path keeps going that way."
The woman smiled enigmatically, like a girl in a seashell from some famous faded pastel painting in a Florentine palace.
"So you are a psychiatrist after all, you bastard. You could walk me to the artist's house past the Drunkard's Hill, so nobody rapes me."
"Fine, I'm heading the same way anyhow."
They walked on, staggering into each other. As their bodies brushed against one another, the woman sensed something more than mere chance, and true to her nature, she spoke her mind.
"Drunk, horny, middle-aged men and their lies aren't my thing, but thanks anyway."
As they passed a group of teenagers doing drugs, the man said loudly,
"Don't worry, I have a weapon."
The woman responded with a low chuckle,
"I noticed. It's poking right through your trousers."
When they reached the artist's house, they began to part with a hug, but the woman suddenly clung to him, trembling with every instinct like a drowning soul. The release of her grief hit her like the tidal wave of an orgasm, her salty tears tasting of the sea. Then they fucked against a large silver birch in the yard. Somewhere a dog barked. The window of the old house creaked on its hinges as it was pulled shut, and all was right with the world, by coincidence or not. Afterward, they detangled. The woman smoothed her skirt and muttered with a drunken slur,
"Bye."
She stumbled away without looking back, heading into the blue-painted ghost of a house on the hill of City Bay, the door slamming shut loudly behind her. Pulling up his trousers, the man muttered in annoyance,
"Fucking into grief is like throwing withered flowers onto a coffin."
He must have wanted more. Ashamed of his loneliness and his bitter thought, he walked away.